Hi, this is Dave Kale. Why do bad things happen to good people? Boy, I'll tell you, sooner or later, every Christian experiences some kind of painful event that leads them to this question. It's one of the most difficult questions people ask. You know, we look around us and we see people who have no morals, who are not Christians, who seem to go through life with few real difficulties. And then there's others who seem to be good people who have adversity and difficulty in their lives. It just doesn't seem fair. Now, even if we don't compare ourselves to other people, we still wonder about our role in the event. When something happens to us, when we're faced with a crisis or painful situation of some kind, we begin to wonder, is God punishing us? Did we do something to bring this on? Or does God have some plan to put one mess after another into our lives? And it's just natural and very common to ask, why me, God? Now, I've been through this a number of times. I've lost two children. I've been divorced. I've been the subject of a number of lawsuits. Had a year-long five return IRS audit. Suffered through extensive periods of unemployment and two major financial calamities. Bad things happen to almost everybody. So what's the answer? I mean, why do bad things happen to good people? I remember asking that in a more specific way of one of my close friends. And at the time, you know, I was really struggling with my business. After working really hard for 6 years, I was actually going backwards. And I did less business that year than I did the prior year. It was tremendously frustrating. And I asked him basically the same question. Why is this happening to me? Is it something I've done? Or is God just bringing this on me for some other purpose? And I never will forget his answer. And he said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference, he said. The important thing is not why something is happening in your life. The important thing is what you do about it. And here's what he meant. You know, as a Christian, your response to adversity should be something like this. You pray more fervently for God to give you direction and strength and for him to be involved in resolving your situation. You depend on your family and other Christians to help. You seek counsel from wiser and more experienced people around you. And you act with principle and ethics, and you don't try to steal, cheat, or lie your way out of the situation. Now, if you respond to your adversity in some way similar to that, then the situation and your response to it will serve to bring you closer to God, deepen your character, and make you a stronger person. In addition, we have God's promise that he will work out this difficulty for you in some way that turns to good. And that'll happen regardless of the cause of your adversity. So the important thing is not to worry too much about why something happens. Rather, the important thing is to concentrate on your response to it. God will use it to bring about good in your life. That is what the verse means. It says, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. The all things in that verse means exactly what it says, all things. Bad things as well as good things. Now notice the promise is not for everyone. It's just for his people. Christians, those people who love him and have been called according to God's purpose. So if you're a Christian, you know that every difficulty you have will be something that God uses to turn to your good. I've often thought about how I'd feel in those situations if I weren't a Christian. You know what? I'd be really depressed, really lonely. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how I'd be able to go on. It's important to view all this through the perspective of the big picture. The big picture is this. God loves us intensely. He wants each one of us to have a relationship with him, and he uses our lives and every event in it for the purpose of bringing us closer to him and making us more like him and using us to work his will in the world. He promises joy, not happiness. He promises peace, not comfort. He promises contentment, not affluence. Now, having said all that, I'll try to answer the original question, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, the Bible provides a number of answers, and it seems that there isn't just one answer, but rather a number of reasons. First, bad things happen in this world because the world isn't a very good place. Now, it was a great place originally. You remember the Garden of Eden? All of creation was there for our ancestors to use. They didn't have to work. They had no illness, no diseases, no natural disasters, and they personally walked and talked with God. But then Adam and Eve sinned and everything changed. Difficulties and adversity entered their lives and in turn entered the world. Old age, disease, accidents, and evil of all kinds came into the world. Today our world is basically a sinful place, and bad things exist. Since bad things exist in this world, it only stands to the reason that sometimes those bad things are going to affect good people. And it goes deeper than just that. It's not just about the world. It's not just that the world is passively sinful. We have to face a power, incredibly powerful spiritual force, that is actively trying to hurt us. The world is influenced by Satan and his demons, who delight in deceiving and harming people. Jesus calls Satan, quote, the prince of this world. In John 14:30, Jesus says, now the prince of the world will be driven out. And in John 16:11, Jesus says, the prince of this world now stands condemned. So there is sin all around us in a world and people who are influenced by Satan. No wonder bad things happen. Through no fault of ours, we're the victims of an evil world. Now, when a drive-by killer shoots an innocent victim, it wasn't anything the victim did. It was an evil person. When we're cheated by a dishonest business person, when someone steals our things, when we're attacked and hurt by someone, when a teacher gives us a grade lower than what we've earned, when a boss fires us for no good reason, all these bad things arise out of the same source. People influenced by a world that is inclined toward evil. When lightning strikes and burns down a house, when we're in an accident, it was really no one's fault. When a baby is conceived with severe defects, when we get cancer, when any malady falls on us through what appears to be a random act, it's because we live in a world that's fallen, in a world that's imperfect and flawed. It's not God's doing, remember. He created a beautiful, perfect world for us. It is, however, the result of a fallen world influenced by Satan. But that's only part of it. Here's the second source. It's been my experience that we cause many of the bad things to happen to us ourselves. We cause them ourselves. I don't mean we cause it in any mystical way. It's not good karma and bad karma and some unseen mystical accountant keeping books and balancing things out. Much less intimidating than that. I mean we directly and physically cause most of our own problems. It's one of the basic laws of our world. Our actions have consequences. Sometimes we cause good consequences, and sometimes we cause bad consequences. For example, we may be alone and have few friends. That's a direct result of our being unfriendly. We slid on a slippery road and totaled our car, a direct result of our driving too fast. Someone breaks into our house and steals our things, but we chose to live in a dangerous part of town. Our car breaks down, but we didn't maintain it. We're inundated with bills, but we're the ones who charged all those things. We get cancer, but we smoked for 20 years. You know, the list goes on and on. You got the idea. Much of the negative stuff we have to deal with was stuff we created ourselves, and it's consequences of our own actions. Sometimes our actions are just stupid, like not maintaining a car. You know, other times our actions are sinful. We choose not to follow the guidelines God lays down for us in the Bible because we think we know better. The result is often a direct and negative consequence. God says don't have sex outside of marriage. We think we know better, and we do so. The consequences of perennial disease, dysfunctional relationships, burdensome pregnancies is a direct result of our actions. God says work hard for your employer. We choose not to. And the consequences of not being employed for very long by any particular company is a direct result of our actions. So sometimes we cause bad things to happen to us by our own stupidity, and sometimes we cause them to happen by our own sin. So far, you know, here's what we've got. Bad things happen to us, number one, because we live in a fallen world. Number two, because we live among a lot of evil people. Number three, because we do stupid things. Number four, because we do sinful things. But we're not done yet. There's more. The book of Job indicates that Satan himself can cause us harm. You remember the story about how Satan asked God's permission to cause Job harm and did so? Later, God rewarded Job with more joy, more delight than Job had before Satan got involved, but it was difficult for Job going through it. Remember, he did nothing to cause his difficulties. So let's add number 5. Bad things happen to good people because Satan directly causes it. There's still more. Sometimes God allows bad things to happen to us as a means of disciplining us. Remember the big picture. He wants us to depend on him, to love him, to be close to him. And sometimes he uses bad things as a means of disciplining us and bringing us closer to him. There's a great passage in Hebrews 12 that explains it. Let me read it. Hebrews 12, my son. Do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined, then everyone undergoes discipline. Then you are an illegitimate child and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and lives? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Now, when you read that passage, you must come to the conclusion that at some point in our lives we're going to be disciplined. The verse promises it. Note, though, verse 12, see, it's not why something happens. It's how we respond to it that's important. Notice, too, that the discipline of God is for a reason. It's to train us so that we can be righteous and have peace. God's discipline is forward-looking, not backwards-looking. In other words, he doesn't say, aha, you did something last year, now I'm going to get you back for it. That's backward-looking. His discipline is forward-looking in that he wants to shape our character for the future. He wants to train us so that we're more like him, more able to do his work. See why the important thing is how we respond? If we respond by growing closer to him, we're pleasing him. So that's reason number 6. Sometimes bad things happen to good people because God wants to discipline us. And as far as I can tell, there is one more cause of bad things. It's sort of a subset of number 2 and 6. Bad things happen to good people because we have a curse on us. Now, I know that sounds strange, but the Bible treats curses as real. As you recall, Adam and Eve were cursed by God for their sin. Cain was also cursed by God. That was just the start. The word curse appears 87 times in the Bible in both the Old and New Testament and is treated as a spiritual reality from Genesis to Revelations. Apparently, a curse is a kind of spiritual hindrance that somehow extends into our physical life and causes us difficulty and struggle. The Bible illustrates a number of ways we can be under a curse. Number 1, by disobeying God, particularly by turning away from him after you've known him and had a relationship with him. Deuteronomy 11:26 says this, "See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. The curse if you disobey the commandments of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I commanded you today by following other gods." So that's one way. Another way is by withholding our giving. And I'm going to say Malachi 3 and 8. Will man rob God? But yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. And see that I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out as much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. That's number 2. Number 3, how do we find curses in our lives? Number 3, by some agreement that you made with Satan for some major sin or some major sin of our ancestors. You know, curses can come down from one generation to the other. I'm going to read a passage from Joshua 9 and 23. You are now under a curse. You'll never cease to serve as woodcutters and water carriers for the house of my God. And they answered Joshua and said, your servants were clearly told how the Lord your God has commanded his servants Moses, to give you the whole land and to wipe out all its inhabitants from before you. So we feared for our lives because of you, and that's why we did this. We're now in your hands. Do to us whatever seems right and good to you. So Joshua saved them from the Israelites and did not kill them. That day he made the Gibeonites woodcutters and water carriers for the community and for the altar of the Lord at the place the Lord would choose. And that is what they are to this day. Number four, by providing some very spiritual people with good reason to call a curse on us. Second Kings 2, from there Elisha went up to Bethel, and he was walking along the road. Some youths came out of the town and jeered at him. "Going up, you bald head," they said. "Going up, you bald head." He turned around, looked at them, and called down a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of them. Now, I'm sure there are more ways we incur curses, but, you know, that's a start. Proverbs even talks about deserved and undeserved curses. In the last chapter, the last book, Revelations 23 and 3, we're promised that no longer will there be any curse. So, here's the list. Bad things happen to us. Number one, because we live in a fallen world. Number two, because we live among a lot of evil people. Number three, because we do stupid things. Number four, because we do sinful things. Number five, because Satan causes it. Number six, because God disciplines us. And number seven, because we're under a curse. Remember, though, in every case, the why isn't what's important. What we do about it is. Okay? That's it. Bye-bye.